Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted Podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plowski, and I call this One Man's It. I'm going to drop a beat. We're not deep beneath the city today. A little friendly advice. Choosing not to know is my Saturday night obsession, so when you're broke, keep it going. 4 days home, and it's the moving song. But you know, we are home, but we're also not there yet. This is hard.
Did you practice this?
No, maybe. But we're getting there. Joining us today are the usual subway riding wingmen and women looking for their stop, including Kevin, Do What I Do Jager.
Boots and cats and boots and cats.
Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Should I try?
Yeah.
Oomcha, oomcha, oomcha.
Well, no, that's how they teach you to do it. They say you're supposed to like boots and cats, and then you dig cats and boots and cats.
Boots and cats.
That's how they. And then you do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spit everywhere.
That is not Ryan's microphone until the end of time.
But with us today is a guest who is no stranger to the Broadway stage. You've seen him in shows like Rent, Flower Drum Song, Pacific Overtures, Godspell, Allegiance, In Transit. And he's soon one jumping ahead of the Agrabah breadline in Aladdin. Let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Taylor
Young.
Yay! Brian, who knew? You were such a badass beatboxer.
I didn't know.
Yeah, your turn.
Who knew that?
We didn't know that.
I don't know. You can take the word
I had to do a little bit of beatboxing in Transit.
Did you?
I had to do like a hi-hat line, so it was like... And I had to do a little bit of...
Yeah.
So like, but our beatboxers, our incredible beatboxers, Chesney,
so
Snow,
good.
And Heaven.
Both.
Yeah, and Heaven, they taught it. They basically gave us beatbox 101. I was like, I can sing notes pretty. So they gave us all like beatboxing 101 classes.
That's amazing.
That's
yeah.
So
that's
cool.
Super cool.
Those guys are the real deal. They're like for real beatboxers
that
were street performers and like did that. On subway stations, like walked around.
Yeah,
with
that was
gear.
That was an awesome way to open the show. Like when he came out and kind of started doing that, it just gave like an excitement to the beginning of In Transit.
In Transit, a toast to In Transit.
In Transit.
I'm still so heartbroken about that show.
But you can follow Telly at Telly Leung on all social media, right?
At Telly Leung, yeah.
Yep. But let's just start with, what are you drinking?
I'm keeping it classy and drinking a Pinot Grigio.
Yes.
Hell yeah, me too.
Yeah.
What did I buy? Gail, we need to tell my mother what kind we're drinking.
Gail, mama, we're drinking a Mezza Corona Pinot Grigio.
Beautiful.
Grigio from Trentino. But I've already had a couple of drinks.
Great.
I had a dear friend take me out to Hot Pot. Have you guys ever done Chinese Hot Pot? Okay, it's fabulous.
I need to go.
So it's a Chinese thing. I kind of grew up doing it with my family too. And like with Chinese families, like you kind of only do it on special occasions. Like it's New Year's, let's go to Hot Pot. You get a hot pot of broth. It's like fondue basically. But
right.
It's like the first course of melting pot.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Like, and it, you get these like, you can have like spicy broths or like pork broths or veggie broths.
Oh.
And then it's all you can eat. It's $25 and it's all you can eat like meat and like vegetables and
it's
mushrooms.
It's fondue for soup.
It's so.
And then you order the meat and cook it in a broth, right?
You cook and you're like, and at the place
so
that we went to.
So it's your fault if you get food poisoning.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
right. Correct.
You sign a waiver at the
table. You cook all your own food, but it's so good.
Which hot pot did you go to?
We went to
and
this
was
great,
it the best?
Yeah, we went to this great place. It was on 2nd Avenue between East 5th and East 6th. It was like a little hole in the wall, and I'm forgetting the name right now, but it was really good, and it was all run by like Cantonese people. That's my people. That's my peeps.
Yes.
And it was great. It reminded me of like being a kid and going to like hot pot in Chinatown with my parents.
That's
so
awesome.
Great.
And
yeah.
What were you drinking?
Wine.
Okay.
Nice.
Wine and sake.
Oh, I love sake.
Yeah.
Which is rice wine.
Man.
So
rice
it's all
wine.
Wine.
It's all wine.
What are you drinking?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm drinking a Sierra Nevada beer.
Hmm.
I'm drinking a light beer, whatever it is.
I don't know what's in
it.
It's
in a carafe.
It's summer.
It tastes like Bud Light, I guess.
Yeah.
That kind of feel. Yeah.
Fancy.
But let's ask the question we always ask here on Broadway, Sid. What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
Oh, I just saw Groundhog Day.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
You're the first person to talk about it on the show.
Okay.
What'd you think, Telly?
First of all, I'm a huge fan of the movie.
Yes.
Right? And you know, this musical's been the idea to make this a musical, this movie into a musical, has been kicking around forever. Like, apparently Stephen Sondheim was working on it for a little while.
Oh.
Yes, that was like the rumor, that Sondheim was kind of working on it for a bit, and then he like did not work on it. So then this whole Matilda team kind of picked it up and worked on it.
Right.
I had a really, really good time. Mm-hmm. First of all, Andy Karl is killing it. Like,
yeah, how's his knee?
He's phenomenal. And it's so funny.
Is he every night or is he taking six?
I'm not sure
so
how many. She is taking a couple of shows off the doctor's orders.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But otherwise he, you know, knowing Andy, he'd be there all the time. But
mm-hmm.
But I first actually ran into Randy when I was at physical therapy at Neurosport, and this was like the day after the accident.
Oh,
he was at physical therapy with like all the physical therapists, and when you go to Neurosport physical therapy, you're all like in the same room together. I remembered like the day that I was at physical therapy was like me and Andy Karl and like Betsy Wolf, like all doing physical therapy all together, like in this room together, and like it's and like today I was at physical therapy and it was like Danae Benton, like that's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And, you know, Broadway injured, you know, hashtag
right, yeah.
Broadway hurts,
yes.
Broadway's hard,
yeah.
and so everybody's there trying to get better and get healed, and I saw Andy and I was like, oh my gosh, how are you? And he was in a brace, and but you know, he's told me last night, he was like, I go to physical therapy three times a day, and he's like, I'm only wearing the brace now just for the show. He's no longer wearing the brace, so he's like getting better.
Wow.
And
great.
So, and you know, honestly, like, he has his, well, for the ladies, he has his pants, and the gentlemen, I guess, he has his pants off in the show a couple of times.
Oh.
So you see,
so
like,
the brace?
Oftentimes he's in his boxers and you'll see the brace.
Yeah.
But, you know, he...
It's like patting the isotoners.
Yeah, oh, totally. Or like Kristen Chenoweth in the neck brace.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Remember that? Like,
I,
she had to wear
I saw
oh,
her.
Yes.
The, I
you
saw
did?
Her in the neck brace.
And Andy, you know, Andy uses obviously he, like, uses the presence of the knee
you
brace there.
You can't
there.
Ignore
it. You can't ignore it,
like,
and he makes a really good joke out of it. But really, like, when you watch him move, like, you forget that
yeah.
he's that ever happened, and he's brilliant. I had a really good time.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Groundhog Day. Really? None of your other guests have seen it yet, huh?
Which,
no.
Yeah, you're the first one.
Yeah, and I went to TKTS
night.
With a buddy.
What theater is it in?
It's
August
at
Wilson.
The August Wilson.
Which is big. Okay.
Right. Which used to be the Virginia Theater. Actually, it was really nostalgic. I had a whole long, like,
oh,
crazy Facebook
where,
post today.
Oh, that's
what it called was. That's, it, used to be, that's where
Flower Drum
Song was, and that was where my first Broadway show was, and I had not been backstage in 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So I went backstage, and Ray was like, do you want a backstage tour? And I was like, actually, Ray, I know my way around.
Yeah.
Like, I totally know my way around this theater.
That's amazing.
And I have such good memories from that. And actually, Ray was like, well, tell me some stories. And one of my favorite stories, which I posted about on Facebook today, is when Flower Drum Song opened, it was 2002, and across the street was Hairspray, the original company of Hairspray.
Yeah.
And actually, this was back, we would do, the fourth floor dressing room was where all the boys' ensemble and the girls' ensemble were. And it was also, if you looked across the street, it was where the ensemble for Hairspray was as well. So every half hour, we would actually do strip shows for each other. Like, the Virginia Theater would do strip shows for the folks at the Neil Simon. But this was before the day and age of iPhones and iPods. So we would actually burn a CD,
walk it
across the street, and we would go, does everybody have their CD players ready? And we would like cue each other with like a, like we would cue each other to press the CD player. And I remember like, and Marissa Jarrett Winoker would have to like get on like the stage manager's BA and be like, guys, get out, go look out your windows, Flower Drum Song is doing a strip show for us. We had lights. I mean, at one point, the story that I was recounting today on Facebook, we actually had, for some reason in the boys' dressing room, we had a blow-up, like, sex doll. It was like a gag gift
right.
that somebody gave us. And so we blew it up and we used
yeah,
it as the button of our strip show number. So the last moment of our like fully choreographed strip show, we actually had the blow-up doll on a piece of rope and we threw it out the window of the Virginia
yes.
Theater dressing room. And then we closed the window and that was the button of the number. So during half hour, as audience members were walking into the Virginia
Theater,
there was actually a blow-up doll hanging outside the window above their heads. If they looked up, they would have seen it, but...
Flower Bum Song?
Flower Bum Song. song.
Oh my god.
The reason I knew that Flower Drum Song was in the Virginia Theater is because I saw the poster earlier today.
We did see the poster earlier today,
so
Kevin.
So I have a story for you.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Florida, and in 2002, I was a junior in high school, and I was at the state thespian competition, and they had a big silent auction for Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS. And there was this giant poster of Flower Drum Song signed by the entire cast.
Oh my gosh.
And I, as a gay boy in high school, saw it play as long as signature and died. And so I hovered over the board until I could... And I basically, anytime somebody bid, I would bid again and beat them.
Aww.
And so I won this poster. So it's this giant pink poster of Flower Drum Song with the entire signed cast. So that's been on my wall ever since senior year of high school. And like went with me to college, is here with me in New York.
I mean, that was some old school Broadway. For anybody who, like, you know, it's... that was, I remembered, you know, our director choreographer was Bobby Longbottom, who had come from like the Michael Bennett days of like, you know what I mean? Like he was old school.
Right.
You know,
and it's an old school show.
I remembered like, you know, for our final run through, he was like, all right, well, everybody in your blacks, we all had to have black, all black. The women had to be in heels every day, full makeup, hair up. Like the gentleman, hair combed, like, you know, it was so, it's such a different Broadway 15 years later, like that, it's just so different now.
But it's cool that you're getting these multiple experiences.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, to think back on it, but that was like the old school Bob Fosse, Michael Bennett tradition, which although like you talk about like your like high school gay boy moment, like I saw every single Norma Desmond in the original like run of Sunset Boulevard.
Oh really?
How many
like,
were there?
I mean, there was Glenn Close, and then it was Betty Buckley, who was my favorite. Like I'm obsessed with Betty Buckley.
She's wonderful.
And she's amazing. And then Elaine Page, who was phenomenal.
Oh my God.
I saw Karen Mason, who stood by for all those women. And I was like, I was that 16-year-old kid who saved up all of my money to then buy. They weren't on TKTS, so I had to buy a full price ticket and sit like in the balcony to go see all those divas. I grew up in New York.
Okay.
And you know, if you went to public school in New York City, and I don't know if this is still true, but you got a free MetroCard. You got to ride.
Oh, that's cool.
You got to ride the subways for free. You had like a round trip from your home to school, but then you also got like one other round trip for free to like go. You know, so I use that other free round trip to like go to see Broadway shows.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean,
instead of paying for a bunch of buses,
right?
Like,
because you have to provide transportation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I even like petitioned. I remembered like I was such a big Betty Buckley fan, and I still am. That I petitioned for a full Betty Buckley cast recording
of that show
of her in Sunset Boulevard, because I was like, there needs to be a Betty Buckley like full cast recording.
I wouldn't argue that.
And the wild thing is, on this coming Monday, on the 15th, I'm actually doing a concert at this brand new theater in Norwalk, Connecticut. It's to open this brand new theater, and they're having a whole bunch of Broadway stars come and do their gala, you know, first concert performance, and I'm on the bill. Also, my dear friend Mandy Gonzalez is on the bill from Hamilton. She's from her and her night off from Hamilton. Lilias White is on the bill.
Wow.
And Betty Buckley
is
on the bill. And I was
die.
Like, I can't believe I'm actually now 16-year-old Telly is freaking out that I'm on a poster, like, on the bill with Betty Buckley, like, that's my diva. That's
you
my diva.
It.
I, like, own all her albums. There was also an AOL fan group. At the time, this was during the time of AOL, so you'd like dial up and you'd go to like chat boards. There was a chat board called the Buckheads, which were all Betty Buckley fans. And this was while Betty was doing Sunset Boulevard.
Fans used to have always named themselves.
But we were the Buckheads.
That's so great.
And so we were like, we would chat online.
I'm so happy
now. But the best part is that Betty Buckley also got into AOL. You know, she tweets, she Facebooks.
Right?
Yeah.
She would sign on and say hi to the Buckheads during intermission from her dressing room at the Minskoff. She would dial up to AOL.
And I'm sure she loved that.
She would
It was amazing. It was kind of a phenomenal.
I'm just picturing this like crazy huge desktop computer and a tiny Broadway dressing room. Just like, where'd you put on your makeup? If the computer took off the whole thing.
From backstage
like,
in the
computer.
She's like MS-DOS typing.
She's like, if I start booting the computer up halfway through Act 1, I can say hi to the Buckheads in intermission.
I'm like...
You're a Buckhead, bro.
I'm the gayest, nerdiest.
I saw Spamilton and the Golden Apple.
Mm-hmm. I liked Spamilton.
I did not know what to expect going in, and they sat me at the very front table. which was hilarious. Mostly because I spent the whole time, like, staring up. Because they're all very tall.
They are tall.
In that show, actually. But, like, it was a great time, and I wasn't expecting it to be as much of Forbidden Broadway as it was. Because as much as it was spoofing Hamilton the whole time, it went into, like, spoofing the whole season.
Yes.
That's
so cool.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was so fun. And I had never seen Forbidden Broadway live. I'd only ever had, like, I had the CDs in high school.
Oh, I saw Forbidden Broadway.
I was obsessed with Forbidden. I mean, of course, Benny Buckett. Benny Buckett telling Lee, I'm obsessed with Forbidden Broadway.
Yes, but like 16-year-old me, who like my mother took me to see Wicked all the time.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't like, oh, let's go to this like weird off Broadway theater that's making fun of all of this.
Right.
And then I saw The Golden Apple at Encores.
Yeah.
Which I had never heard of.
Encores?
Yeah, I've never heard of Encores. I definitely don't go see everything they do. No, the only thing I knew about The Golden Apple is that it is featured in Monkeys and Playbills from Title of Show.
Oh,
where
yes.
They go through all of the playbills that didn't run anything. And so...
And it's based on Helen of Troy.
Yeah, it's based
right?
on the Iliad and the Odyssey. Like, the first act is the Iliad and the second act is the Odyssey. And I learned that I did not pay enough attention in Honors English!
Yeah.
And it's an operetta, so I was like, What's happening?
Was Lindsay Mendes in that?
Yeah.
Yes.
She was Helen. She was great.
And she, that voice.
That
and then,
just that clip I saw, I think it was on Broadway.com or something.
Oh,
heard.
Which one was Blue Dress? Like,
it was
bright
her,
blue dress?
Yes. It was just like a clip of her singing one of the songs, and she's like just standing at a piano, and she's like just having a good time. Like, she could just basically be texting her friend, but
yep.
She just sounds perfect.
Yeah.
She's perfection.
It was just such like an old school operetta. Like, she is the kind of ingenue, but like a little different. And then Paris, who steals her away, is a ballet dancer who says nothing.
Oh.
And he just, like, comes on and, like, dances her away.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
So that was
that.
Really fun.
All right, you did Godspell with
Lindsay. So yeah, Lindsay and I are very close.
Mm-hmm.
Our nicknames for each other are husband and wife.
Mm.
She's my show wife. Like, if
yeah.
I had a wife in this business, that would be her.
She was awesome.
She's incredible. She's really great, and that instrument is she can sing any she really
literally
can sing any,
anything
she can sing anything
yeah because it was very interesting old school music that's almost opera, and then the girl playing Penelope is a senior at Juilliard right
oh
now.
My gosh,
oh really,
and like if she's not a star in the next 2 years, I'll eat my hat.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
that the phrase?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the phrase.
She
and get mercury poisoning.
And get mercury poisoning. I'll be the Mad Hatter in 2 years.
Oh,
if
yes. T-Voyage.
I love Encores because you'll never see that show ever again.
Oh, yeah.
But in Monkeys
yeah.
and Playbills, they say, like, something, the golden apple, golden boy, and Goldilocks.
That's amazing.
Cool.
And there is a golden apple.
That
I wasn't
was my,
sure.
That was my next question.
And a hot air balloon.
Tilly, I want to talk a little bit about In Transit.
Sure.
How hard was it?
Listen, so In Transit was my sixth Broadway show.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say... well, listen, hashtag Broadway is hard, but like,
right.
like so every show is difficult in
its
own way.
That is a relative question.
Right, but I don't think I understood when I said yes to doing In Transit how difficult it was going to be, because we really are, we are not only the actors and not only the ensemble, but we are also the band.
Yeah.
And I really didn't understand what that entailed until we actually dove in and did it.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes we were exiting the stage and we were still singing oohs and ahs, supporting what was happening on
yeah.
stage.
Were you
singing
yep.
during changes and
some,
stuff?
We are I now can put on pants and sing straight tone oohs and ahs. That is now a special skill that
cheers.
I can now sing pitch perfect straight tone notes while putting on a pair of pants,
was
bending over, tying my shoes.
And like your mic was never turned off?
Well, and also right. And so you had to understand that sometimes your mic was on off stage because you were singing,
yeah.
which was also an adjustment, not just for us, but it was an adjustment for our dressers and our crew.
Yeah.
Oh,
so like for
wow.
the first couple of previews, our dressers actually couldn't say to us, hey, put your pants on, or like, hey, give me your shoes untied. Like, they actually couldn't say that to us
to figure out other
in
ways
the wings. We had to figure out other ways to like actually sign
wow.
language to each other or say to the stage manager, hey, my prop's not here.
Mm.
Like, you actually couldn't say that. You actually had to figure out stage,
wow.
like you had to figure out kind of a mime system of like telling
wow.
people what
and
was
you
wrong.
Don't really get to turn off like you're like,
you never you were never really off, you know, you when you left the stage you were probably off stage changing clothes and also singing for whatever was happening
right.
on stage, which was a wild experience, but I have to say also a a purely joyful experience too. It was very difficult to do, and we were all exhausted by the end of a 90-minute. I was like, this show is 90 minutes. It's going to be a piece of cake. Wrong. Absolutely
right?
Wrong. Like,
yeah.
Those 90 minutes were pretty tough. But it was the best group of people to do a show with. It was, you know, it was everybody, you know, those people that I was on stage with, Nicholas and Margot Seibert and James Snyder, Justin Guarini, you know, Moya Angela, David Abelis, like those guys, like all of them, they're all superstars.
Mm-hmm.
But what I loved about it was that everybody was also a team player and everybody could be a first tenor or a first or a second alto in a minute. You know what I mean? That was actually the best part of the show, was that it was a true, true ensemble show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw in an interview that you talked about how you don't just have, like, casts. You have, like, families.
I feel like I have families.
Yeah.
I think that comes from the fact that I was an only child. You know, like, I grew up as an only child, so I had a super active imagination because I had to, like, and imaginary friends because I had to make them for myself.
Right.
But also...
You imagined all your co-stars.
I did. you know, my toys were my co-stars, you know what I mean, in a lot of ways. But I missed having that experience of brothers and sisters. So now that I do theater, they're my brothers and sisters.
So we always hate to see shows close on Broadway.
Yeah.
Regardless. You've closed short-lived shows, In Transit and Allegiance.
Yes.
But you've also closed long runs of shows, Rent.
Yes.
I own that DVD, by the way.
So do I.
Of the last performance of Rent.
Oh, yeah. I felt like I was, like, the luckiest kid in the world. First of all, I saw Rent when I was 16 years old. It was the original Broadway company.
Yeah.
And I did, before it was the Lotto... It wasn't a Lotto in the beginning. Before it was just Rush.
You waited.
It was just $20 Rush. And you had to sleep with the bums on 41st Street to get your $20 ticket. So that's what I did. That one summer, I think I did that for Rent over 13 times. It was the first show that I remember sitting in the front row and crying at a show. I never went to a Broadway show and, like, actually had this, like, emotional experience. And it was during, like, No Day But Today into support group, into Will I, that I was like, all of a sudden I was like, I don't understand what's happening. I'm crying and I'm emotional.
But it's a musical.
And at 16, you know, this was 96, at 16, I was like, I don't even really know what AIDS is, but, like,
right.
I'm just crying.
Yeah,
I'm just,
yeah.
And it was the moment and the music and the compassion and the humanity of what Jonathan was doing. And it hit me. And so, fast forward 10 years, I joined the company in 2006, and the assistant stage manager, her name is Crystal Huntington.
Yeah.
She was the original stage manager from the New York Theater Workshop.
Oh, wow.
And then
history buff.
Right. So she had the entire, she was part of the production till the very end on Broadway.
Wow.
So she knew all of it. And so, but when she was teaching me the show, she was like, Telly, you, like, know this show. Like you know where you... How do you know where you're going? I didn't teach you that. And I was like, I've been doing the show in my brain.
So can you talk about closing a show like Rent?
Like, closing night of Rent was... Like, there was this huge buildup. You know, we knew that it was coming. It was such a big deal. But they were also going to shoot this movie. So, like...
It's so good.
Everybody else... It is. It's wonderful.
With
and
Hamilton's,
like,
Renee Elise Goldsberry.
With Hamilton's Renee.
And
Nashville's Will Chase.
It's wild. That cast...
She's incredible.
Is incredible.
And Adam Cantor.
Adam Cantor was Mark.
Oh, stop.
Come From Away's Rodney Hicks.
Yes!
Yeah.
Who
That's
was
right.
in the original Broadway
he
company.
He was Benny.
It was,
That's right.
He was in the final company as Benny, but he was in the original company as Paul and others.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, it was like, it was this incredible, incredible company of people and Rent family. And, you know, the Rent family is actually very small. Like, the show ran 13 years on Broadway, but it was such a happy group of people. Nobody really left. And so, you know, one of the wonderful closing night gifts that I got from Crystal, she gave us all of these sheets. And it had every single track on a sheet. But then on the sheet, it would say, so-and-so played the role from X date to X date. And so, you know, on, like, for example, like, I was contracted as Angel for a couple of months to play Angel when our Angel took a break. So I got to be Angel. On the Angel seat, it said Rilson, Jermaine, Heredia. And then at the end of the sheet, it said Justin Johnston, who was our final angel. But then somewhere in the middle, it's like, from this date to this date was Telly Leung. From this date to this date was Wilson Cruz. Wilson Cruz came back on this date to this date. Like, it was so...
So almost like a family tree.
It was like a family tree of, like, everybody who had ever done
the
show.
That's, like, the sweetest thing I've
ever
heard.
And when you look at it, you're like, oh my gosh, there actually hasn't been that many people who've played these roles.
For 13 years.
Yeah. It wasn't a revolving door because people would always just come back. Mm-hmm. And I remember closing night, you know, everybody else that was in the Rent family, the entire balcony was filled with Rent alums. The rest of us, however, had to do the show and also not lose our show because
we
had a movie to shoot.
Right.
So we were also trying to not get
it was
too
that
emotional.
Last
we shot the last show. There are several things I remember from the night. I remembered that final Seasons of Love where the original cast and the final cast and all the alums stepped on stage and sang Seasons. I remembered getting a bottle of champagne in my dressing room. Everybody, Jesse L. Martin, the most classy person in the world, had a bottle of Veuve Clicquot for every single person of the closing class. He didn't even know who I was. Do you know what I mean? But, like, Jesse had a bottle of champagne for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I remember my husband, like, was like, we can't drink that champagne. We kept it in the fridge for years. It's from Jesse L. Martin. It's Jesse L. Martin champagne. We can't drink that champagne. He's a huge, like, Law & Order SVU
fan.
Oh, yeah. We can't drink that champagne. It's from Jesse L. Martin. And I also remember the party, which was at Chelsea Piers,
mm-hmm.
which was a phenomenal experience. But I also remember really the next day. I remembered not bringing my stuff home and going to the theater the next day before loadout, which is always a really painful day for people to go to the theater to watch your set being taken down. And I walked in. I remember Will Chase was there, and Will and I just like sat on that stage for a really, really long time. And I was like, Will, are you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm okay. He's like, listen, I couldn't be emotional yesterday because we had to do this movie. And so he was like, today I'm actually like, it's actually all sinking in. And I remember just the both of us sitting on that stage, on two separate sides of the stage, just like having our like moment to like just take it in.
Right.
And that was really, really special.
Cool.
And it was hard. I live in Midtown, so I walk past 41st Street all the time. I'm drunk. I'm slurring my words.
Cheers!
But when you slur words, that's a... But I remember walking past the theater, and every day there would like be the dumpsters with like the trash outside with our set outside. That is like the most... And walking past it and having them take down the posters.
And
it
the
was
rent
really
wall
hard.
Getting
the rent wall.
Over.
The rent wall.
Someone must have like...
There
I've
is,
talked about this before.
There
like,
are photos
okay.
of the rent wall. It's preserved. All the messages from those people are preserved.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Let's play a game.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Ready?
What's the game?
I made up a new game.
Okay.
It is called... Is this the name of a college a cappella group, or did I make this up off the top of my brain?
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Oh. We'll go one by one.
Oh, my gosh. This is... I'm going to lose
track
this game. I'm going to be terrible at this game because I had to be giving a cappella 101 crash course for when I joined the show.
Ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Kevin, the Whiffin' Poofs.
Oh, I know that one.
That is one.
That is correct.
Oops.
You helped me out. I got a point.
The Smiffin' Poofs.
I think that's not real.
That's also real. They were founded in 1936.
Stop it.
The
what?
Smiffin
Poofs?
The
Whiffin Poofs I know from
they're
Glee.
Smith.
Yes, right.
Because our warblers were based on the Whiffin Poofs.
They
were based
on
the Whiffin Poofs. But it was actually, but the sound of it is based on the Tufts Beelzebubs. Oh, sorry.
What now?
The Beelzebubs.
From Tufts.
From Tufts University.
Oh.
I'm sorry if that was
going
to be one of
your questions. So they were based on, like, the feel of one group, the sound of another?
But there was, like, but the look of it was, like, this all-boys prep school, like...
Yeah.
Right, right.
Brian.
Yeah, that's me.
The Hangovers.
I'm going to say false.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
The Hangovers are the a cappella group from Cornell.
What? So I
which you should have known, Mr. Ithaca alumni.
I know.
Hangovers.
The Hangovers. Okay. Kevin.
Yes.
The Trojan Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They are from
California.
University of Southern California.
Oh, USC.
Oh.
That's a gap.
Tally.
Uh-huh.
Virginia Gentlemen.
I'm gonna say false.
Incorrect. The Virginia Gentlemen.
There have been no false ones.
I know.
And because they're all so funny. They're in the University of the Virginia. Of the Virginia?
Of the Virginia.
Great wine.
Of the Virginia.
Brian.
Yes.
On a sensual note.
Phenomenal name.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to go with yes because it's amazing.
American University.
Yeah.
On a
sensual
note. That's
brilliant.
Kevin. The Shaka Awesomes.
I'm going to say you made that up.
I did. Okay, Telly.
Yeah.
The Gentlemen's and the Scholars.
Well, I'm going to say yes.
Incorrect.
Oh,
I made that
up.
Up.
You
that was good
because
you looked like you were reading.
You're so tricky.
Brian, the Mad Hatters.
Oh, true.
That's true. Founded in 1997, they wear red blazers and khakis.
Yeah.
And again, they all have mercury poisoning.
From Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
All right, Kevin. Cayuga's Waiters.
Cayuga's Waiters?
Cayuga's Waiters.
I'm going to say that's real.
That is real. That's also from Cornell.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lake Cayuga.
They like the acapella at Cornell.
The Octopodes.
Okay. I'm going to say that's real, actually.
That is real. Want to hear them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
Okay.
They sound
good.
Damn.
They were good.
So good. The Harvard Opportunes, the Troublemakers, like.
I have to say.
That's hilarious.
Like, Deke Sharon, like, he's like the godfather of acapella. I can't even say acapella. This is how much peanut grease I've had. Acapella. Acapella, he gave us all the crash course on acapella. And then when the show got to Broadway, and our amazing producer, Janet Rosen, was like, well, what's like on your dream list of things that you want? They were like, well, the dream is to get Deke Sharon, who had done all the arrangements on the sing-off and everything in Pitch Perfect. They were like, the dream is to get him to be on the team and like rearrange some of these songs to like sound like amazing acapella.
Right.
And like he's the man. He's amazing.
Damn. That's amazing.
If you got like go that album, I've been on many cast albums and they're all wonderful. That In Transit cast album is something really special.
Was that your first time playing a gay character on stage?
Well, I'd done Angel.
Well, right.
And a lot when I on Broadway and then on the tour in the Hollywood Bowl and stuff like that. So that was the other gay character I played.
So, question for you: what's your favorite musical?
Oh, gosh, this is really, really hard.
We only ask the tough questions here on Broadwasted.
On Broadwasted? It's really hard after, like, a bottle of Pinot Grigio.
Snap decisions.
But,
this is what happens now.
I have to say, Rent is probably my favorite musical.
Fair. It's funny. Not a lot of people have said that, but I feel like deep down...
What have been the other answers?
Music Man?
Yeah.
Comes up a lot. Ragtime comes up a lot.
Annie.
Sweeney Todd comes up a lot. West Side Story, Annie, because a lot of people associate nostalgia with Annie.
Yes. I will say, like, Rent is my favorite musical. Like, that's the favorite musical in my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you know, my husband and I, we've been together for 12 years, and we rarely fight. We fight when we drive, because...
That's
one
just
of us
right.
Is
what else
yeah.
are you gonna do?
These couples fight when they drive,
right.
You know, and the best thing for us was Google Maps and a GPS. Like, that's actually the best thing, because you're like, we can't fight. Actually, like, she says this.
Right, right.
So she's the one that's gonna break up.
I don't know. She pointed me the wrong way. It
right.
wasn't my fault.
That's not my fault. We blame her.
You have a robotic
but,
mediator.
Right.
Perfect.
Perfect, yeah. But the other thing we fight about is what's the perfect musical.
Mm.
I think it's Gypsy. if there's a perfect musical to be had, it's Gypsy. When it comes to like the structure of a musical and like and the art form and like the genre and like what it is, it's like that we're aiming to do with storytelling and music theater. Gypsy's the perfect musical.
The structure of his, the book is amazing.
His argument, he thinks West Side Story is the perfect musical.
Can they both be perfect?
I don't know. I don't know.
They're very different.
For me, Gypsy is really, really is perfection. That's like there's not a bit of fat in that book, and not a bit of fat in those lyrics and that score.
But is there in West Side?
I will say, you know, even Sondheim himself has said,
true.
I don't love those lyrics sometimes, you know.
Well, if Sondheim says it, it's true.
With West Side, I can sometimes feel like it's an amazing show that a lot of young guys came together and did, and like, those guys were geniuses, but they were
and
young.
And it can be done perfectly.
Right.
But yeah, Gypsy, like, you're on the page and you're reading through it and playing the songs as you get there.
That's how I feel about Gypsy.
Okay. Yeah.
And I saw that London Imelda Staunton Gypsy.
I saw it on Broadway HD.
Yes, it's brilliant, right?
Amazing.
What's your favorite experience seeing a show?
My favorite experience seeing a show? You know, this is a recent experience, actually.
Yeah.
I had a really good time seeing Lightning Thief. Percy Jackson Lightning Thief, the musical down at the Lortel.
With Chris McCarroll.
Yeah.
With Chris McCarroll and my dear friend George Salazar.
He's amazing.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
Who's my godspell brother. But I actually, he was in Tick, Tick, Boom, but I went. The experience was really special, A, because the show is brilliant. Actually, I think what they've done with that and what my dear friend Rob Akiki did with the music and all of those, I mean, all of it. Like, it's so well done. It's this show about magic and fantasy, and yet they found a really simple theatrical way to do it where it's like theater from nothing. They're like toilet paper.
Very
can be magical.
So. Yes.
They're like this like thing that we do like
with the leaf blowers.
Yes, you're like it's they make magic out of like simple household things. And I was like, that's brilliant and genius. But also I actually went to that with a whole bunch of my Godspell mates. I went with Celise Henderson. I went with Julia Madison. I went with Nick Blamire, and we went to go cheer on our friend.
Yeah,
and like, he's fantastic.
Yes, and
the kids sitting behind us didn't realize that he was playing multiple characters.
Oh my gosh!
So halfway during intermission, they looked in the playbill and they saw that he was playing the two characters or the three characters, and it blew their minds.
That's so awesome!
And that is
you hear that, George? You did good.
Yeah.
And we were like, it's acting.
You did good.
Playing the sidekick and then playing Dionysus, he was like totally.
I was just confused when he changed his pants, or if like, if the fur was under the khakis the whole time.
One more question before we play our final game.
Okay.
If you were sent to a desert island and you had to, so you could see one show before you're sent away, and it's the perfect version of that show, what would you see?
Yeah, okay. So the first thing that popped into my head was Carol Channing in Hello, Dolly.
Whoa.
That's the first thing that pumped into my brain. And I actually got to see her do it.
Uh-huh.
In 96
really?
At the Lunch Fontaine.
When she
came back and she was at the Lunch Fontaine,
yeah.
I was in high school. And it was one of those like TKTS moments where I bought a ticket. You know, it was actually the afternoon that I took the SATs. So I took the SATs and I said, you know what? F this. I'm gonna go take my money and go buy a ticket to a Broadway show. And I remembered like I went to the TKTS booth and it was like a gorgeous sunny spring day. And then all of a sudden, as I'm standing online at TKTS, the storm clouds roll in and it's like pouring rain.
Oh, wow.
And I'm soaking wet. And I was like, I refuse to get off this line. I'm staying on this line.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get my ticket to go see Carol Channing and Hello, Dolly. I got my ticket. I went to the theater, to the Lunt. I sat in the balcony with a whole bunch of old ladies in their fur coats and like teeth chattering, like soaking wet to the bone, like down to the socks. And like, but I sat there the entire 2.5 hours watching Hello, Dolly. I and got sick, of course, from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was brilliant.
It was worth it.
It was all worth it.
Good.
And to me, like, if I had to go to a desert island, I was like, you get to see one more show, and that's it. Like,
it would be that.
That would be it.
Cool.
But
perfect.
Dry. So I have a stack of show cards we're gonna play Celebrity with. We have to do teams though, yeah.
Sure.
Oh. So. Do you want to do the side table?
Sure, let's do it, Telly.
All right, let's go.
Great. We're going to do three rounds of Celebrity. I'm going to get my timer out. We each have one half of my show cards deck. So the first round is going to be taboo style. You can say anything about the card, just no word that is printed on the show card. The second round will do one word clues. And the third round is singing clues, because charades aren't fun on a podcast.
That's hysterical. Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin, do you
want to
go first?
Sure.
I'll guess?
Yes.
Okay. Ready? Steady? Good.
Original Charlie Kringis.
Lonnie Price.
She's the director of Great Comet.
Rachel Chavkin.
Yes. She is the one who sings Everybody Rise.
There have been a few.
Like the main one.
Elaine Stritch?
Yes.
Okay.
She was in Falsettos, and she...
Stephanie J. Block?
No, and she was also in the Last 5 Years revival.
Betsy Wolf.
Yes. This is a British play about things going wrong on stage.
The play that goes wrong?
Noises
Off.
Yes. He played the king on Broadway for a long time, in Hamilton. Not for a long time,
Rory
but he
O'Malley?
Did. Yes. Not a rare card.
Michael Bennett?
Yes. He was in Producers, but not Nathan Lane.
Matthew Broderick.
Yes. Matthew Morrison and Laura Michelle Kelly starred in this on Broadway with...
Finding Neverland.
Yes. Husband of Mary Maisie. Jason Danielli.
Jason Danielli.
Nine? Okay, we can give it a try.
Oh, gosh.
Know
okay,
what's
I'm
in
nervous
there.
Because I've had a lot to drink.
That's okay.
It's all right. You'll be fine.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay, and go.
Okay.
She was just in Disaster. She's also been in Hairspray. When you have a servant, they are your... this is a what?
Butt?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I'm terrible at this.
Xanadu, Rock of Ages.
Cara Butler.
Yes.
Yay. Oh, my gosh. Terrible.
She took over for Jennifer Hudson in The Color Purple. She's the original Aida.
Oh, Heather Headley.
Yes.
I loved her.
Robert Morse was in the original production.
How to Succeed without in Business Without Any Time?
Lin-Manuel wrote this on Broadway, won a lot of Tonys.
In the Heights, Hamilton.
Yes. He was the man in Chair.
Oh, Bob Martin.
Yes. He was in Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Bryce Bingham.
Yes.
Oh.
She won a Tony for West Side Story.
Oh, Karen Olivo.
Yes.
My buddy.
He was in High School Musical with Justin Holiday Inn.
Oh, Corbin Blue.
Yes.
My other buddy.
You're done. Good work.
Oh my god, how many did we get?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All right.
That's okay.
Whoa.
That's still really good.
Oh my
god. So we're at... Oh yeah, keep scoring on the whiteboard.
I'm so sorry I didn't get Carrie Butler.
No,
my
it's okay.
Gosh, I love me a Carrie Butler.
Butt.
I mix these back in.
Great. Okay. Ready?
I'm ready.
Kevin, will you hit start?
I will.
I'm going.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Wrong.
The play that went wrong? Wrong. Noises Off.
Pain.
I was like, oh god.
Channing.
Hello, Dolly.
Yes. Sutton.
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Nathan.
The Producers. Matthew Broderick.
Red.
Sunday in the Park with George.
Yes.
More red.
Bronx?
Nick Cordero?
Yeah.
What?
Merrily.
Lonnie Price.
Okay.
Wow, you guys.
Killing it.
I'm impressed.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven.
Go.
Oh, Brotherhood.
How to Succeed in Business.
Yeah.
Right as I
Hairspray.
Butler. Kerry Butler.
Yeah. I hate her.
Heather Headley.
Yes.
That was a good impression.
Shot.
Hamilton?
Yes. Okay, good.
Wow.
Porgy.
Audra.
Yes. America.
What's that? Karen Olivia.
Yes. Fences. This is a harder one.
Denzel.
Fences.
August Wilson?
Yes! Oh my gosh. high school.
Oh, Corbin Blue.
Yes. Again, wait. Aida. I got the same card twice.
Heather Headley.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
That was still a solid round.
Heather Headley twice. How did that happen?
Corbin was impressive.
A 9.
All right, Kevin, are you ready to sing to me?
Yep.
Go.
Jamie is over and Jamie is
Betsy
gone.
Wolf.
Yep. Hey, old friend, what do you
Lonnie say? Bryce.
Yes. Let's find a rock. I mean, a big ass rock, or maybe something
full
like
Monty.
A cinder block is better. Yes.
The Patrick Wilson?
No.
There are other people in the full Monty.
Just pass. You can pass.
We're British and stuff's going wrong.
Noises off.
Yep. Before the parade.
Hello, Dolly.
Everybody rocks.
Elaine Stritch.
Yes. I wrote a book about Peter Pan.
Finding Neverland.
Yes. This is a story
about...
Hold
on, you're done,
Okay.
I mean, the songs or the plays. Or like the songs for like... that was brilliant.
I didn't know what to do for Noises Off. I was like, oh gosh.
All right, how many?
That worked out. Oh, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, it's close.
So what? How many do we have to get?
Six to win, five to tie.
We can do this.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Rosemary.
Oh, how to succeed in business without really trying.
Yes. I do in the sky.
Oh, Bob Martin.
Yes. You can't stop the beat.
Hairspray. Carrie Butler.
Yes. I have dreamed thee too long, never seen thee or touched thee, but known thee with all of my heart.
Oh my gosh.
Bum 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 bum. Hear me now, thou art bleak and unbearable world, thou art base and debauched as can be.
Oh, Impossible Dream, Man of La Mancha?
Yes.
There's a way easier song there.
I know. We're all in this together.
Oh, High School Musical, Corbin Blue.
Yes. I have a backyard. It's by a fence.
Oh gosh.
Yes. Aida.
Oh, Heather Headley.
Yes. Wheel of a Dream.
Heather. No, Audra McDonald.
Stop. You're done.
My gosh.
I have a backyard.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Viola Davis.
We got eight.
Eight. That'll win.
Yay.
I'd like to say that August Wilson was the winning card.
Oh my gosh. That to sing August Wilson.
I have a backyard.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so
much. This was really fun.
Coming.
I'm glad
this
you...
was really, this was a blast.
Yeah.
This was a blast.
Here at the WeWork.
That was a little Carol Channing come out right there.
Here's one last question for you. If you could bring one diva back from the dead and see them in any show, who would it be?
Oh, the Merm.
Yeah.
It'd be the Merm.
In Gypsy?
I don't know if it would be Gypsy.
Call me Madam.
Call Me Madam is a good one, but I...
So good.
I think it would be Annie Get Your Gun.
Yeah.
Oh, so...
Because
young
I actually
Merman.
Think... Because they're being... We've
a
seen
good
some...
One.
Because I, the only reason why I don't say Gypsy is because we've seen some pretty stellar roses,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you know, between Imelda Staunton,
Patti
LuPone, I love that Bette Midler TV movie.
Yeah.
You know, but Ethel Merman doing Annie Get Your Gun, that's something I feel like I really want to get to. There's no hope!
Cheers to that. That's
it.
Such a good answer.
To Ethel. And first
Merman
of all, and also Ethel Merman in Airplane. Can we talk about Ethel Merman in Airplane?
So good.
Which is like my first introduction to Ethel Merman.
Yeah, mine too.
I was like, who is that woman? The close second would have actually been Madeline Kahn in On the 20th Century. That would have been the second. Because I'm also I also do love me a Madeline Kahn.
Well, I would just want her back.
Agreed.
No, Madeline Kahn, right? Like,
I would just have her do like
there's,
a reading of Clue.
There's nothing better than Madeline Kahn in Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
She's incredible.
Yeah. Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein.
Oh. Any Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah.
But
flames on the side of
and
my
also
face.
To me, I mean, no offense to any of the ladies who've done this, but that's the best Not Getting Married Today. I've heard. Madeline Kahn doing Not Getting Married Today is actually my favorite.
That's so good.
Because she's bananas.
So that brings us to the end of our episode.
Oh, thank you guys.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
So we end every... Oh, well, before we end the episode with a quote, we want to remind you guys to follow Telly on all social media. It's his full name on both Instagram and Twitter. I didn't mention it yet, but definitely pick up his two studio albums. I listened to them before this podcast.
Aww,
they're
thanks.
Excellent. Songs for You and I'll Cover You.
Thanks.
Definitely check those out.
Those are with Broadway Records, right?
Broadway Records and Yellow Sound Label,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget that Telly starts in Aladdin on what date?
June 13th.
June 13th. Watch him jumping ahead of the bread line. It's a whole new world out there. But we end every episode with a quote.
Oh.
And that quote is, "Suddenly I'm in the cockpit. Suddenly everything's changed. Suddenly I'm not too young or too short. And the passage in the back don't complain." That is Me in the Sky from Come From Away.
Yeah.
Nice.
We love Jen Cole. I
was
like, pal Joey. Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow. Come From Away.
Oh, yeah.
It's
We'll have to have you back and talk about that.
Yes, please.
Again, follow us on @BroadwaySet on all social media. Make sure to go to iTunes, subscribe to us, as well as rate us.
Five stars, please.
Yeah, 5 stars, please. But
like
as we,
us.
As we end every episode, we raise a glass.
To the fire.
Cheers. Thanks, Shelly.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
From Shelly?
No, I'm slurring.
Sounds like
Shelly.
Thanks, Shelly.
Yeah. Thanks, Shelly.
Thanks, Shelly. Thanks for coming.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.